thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
So we're continuing. We're still in the Gospel of Luke, but because it's Palm Sunday, we're going to jump ahead to chapter 19. We'll be looking at verses 28 through 48, chapter 19 of Luke, verses 28 through 48. If you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they have seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees and the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.' When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. 'It is written,' he said to them, 'My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers.' Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words." Father in heaven, we thank you for your word here today on this Palm Sunday. As we draw our attention to them, would you speak to us? Holy Spirit, open up our eyes and our hearts and our ears. Thank you for your presence in this place. In your name we pray, amen. Please be seated. All right, well, it's Palm Sunday. What is Palm Sunday all about? We've already sang a Hosanna song. We're going to sing another Hosanna song. And what does Hosanna mean? Hosanna comes from Psalm 118, and it means save us. It's a prayer. It's a prayer, recognizing that we need a Savior. So every time we cry out Hosanna, that means we are in need of a Savior. What do the palms mean? Palms is a symbol of victory. So we wave our palms as we sing Hosanna. That means we are crying out to God, save us, knowing that he has won the victory. So that's what Palm Sunday is all about. I don't know if you recognize, while we were reading through the text today, In the Gospel of Luke, there is no mention of Hosanna, even though it's in the other Gospels, and there is no mention of palms. Did you recognize that today? Why would Luke exclude the palms and people crying out Hosanna? Well, I've been pondering about that, and I think what Luke wants us to know is, who is Jesus? Because Palm Sunday is really not about the palms, and it's really not about people crying out Hosanna, but Palm Sunday is the day where Jesus identifies himself as king. So really, Luke wants his readers, Luke wants us to focus on one thing, and that is, who is Jesus? What does it mean when we say Jesus is our king? Because that is what Jesus is doing here. He is letting the whole world know that he is the king of kings. Why does that matter? What's the big deal? Well, we're all looking for some kind of leadership. Even if we are a leader, we're looking for validation. We're looking for leaders to lead us. In our world today, political leaders, what do they promise? Well, they promise, one of the things that they promise is peace. A lot of things that are happening around the world today, they're doing it in the name of peace. We also have cultural leaders, also known as influencers. And what do they promise? Well, they're trying to promise you meaning in life or how to be in control of your own life. So that's what they promise. But what does the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords promise? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at today. So let's journey through the Gospel of Luke, where palms aren't mentioned and Hosanna is not mentioned, but where Jesus truly reveals himself as the king. Are you ready to meet this king? Because when he comes, people are going to react. We're going to see how people react, and people react differently to the King of Kings. So let's go ahead and take a look. Verse 28, we see that Jesus goes ahead of his disciples to Jerusalem. Now, when Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, he knows that this is the time, the appointed time, where he's going to be facing the cross. So he is going ahead through Bethphage and Bethany to the Mount of Olives. And it says here that he sent two of his disciples. We don't know who they are. And he says, go to the village ahead of you. We don't know which village. And as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say the Lord needs it. Now, this is an interesting ask that God is asking, that Jesus is asking his disciples. Why would God himself require anyone to do anything for him? He doesn't need to, but he uses people to accomplish his missions. And that's something that you and I need to remember as well. God doesn't need us to do anything, but he chooses to use his people to accomplish his mission. God is calling you today to do something. What is that? And my prayer is that you are obedient to his word. Sometimes he'll ask you to do silly things or what looks like silly things to us. I can see myself, if Jesus is saying, go do this, I'm like, really? But this is chapter 19 of Luke. The disciples have already seen Jesus do great things. The disciples have learned when Jesus asks, I better listen. So there's no protest, right? They're not saying, really, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Why Are you asking me to do this? Why are you sending us and not the rest of the disciples? There are no arguments here. And it says here that if anyone asks, say the Lord needs it. I wish God would tell us to do that. I need you to go find a larger location. And if you find that location, just barge right in. And when the owners of the building say, why are you coming into this building? Well, the Lord needs it. Wouldn't that be great? But there is a specific reason why. If you read Zechariah 9:9, it says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See or behold, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So here, what is Jesus trying to say by requesting a colt? He is declaring that he is king. He is declaring that he is righteous and victorious, and he is lowly riding on a donkey. When a king rides a donkey, it's during times of peace. So what is he saying here? I am the king. Up to this point, when Jesus healed, when Jesus did all kinds of miracles, and people wanted to tell who Jesus was, what would Jesus say? No, not today. Remain quiet. Don't tell anyone who I am. But now, he is making a public declaration that the king is coming, that I have arrived. But it's not the kind of king you're looking for. Instead of riding on a great white horse, he is riding on a donkey. Do you see how this is about peace? Do you see how Jesus is showing himself as a humble king? People wanted power. They wanted a powerful and victorious king to come rescue them from Rome. But that's not who Jesus is here. Instead of power, he shows humility. Instead of victory, he is headed to the cross. A very different kind of king. He is definitely not meeting the expectations of people. But when people confront Jesus, or when people meet Jesus, then their reaction is very different as well. But it's interesting here, as we continue to look, so the two disciples go, and what does it say here? They found the colt, just as Jesus had told them. So that's confirmation. And just as Jesus said, well, as they were untying the colt, the owners came out and say, hey, why are you doing this? And they basically just replied, the Lord needs it. And they don't say anything. So you see, even the way God requests, Jesus tells him what to do, there's no powerful authority there, but there's authority definitely behind the words, the Lord needs it, that's enough. And that was enough for the owners. They didn't have to negotiate. They didn't need an explanation. But there was definite certainty. The Lord needs it. Please take it. So they bring it to Jesus. They bring the colt. They throw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. So what are they doing here? They're honoring Jesus as king. So now the disciples, they know what this is all about. They may not know that Jesus is headed towards the cross, but now was the moment they were waiting for. Jesus is now ready to declare to everyone, he is king. So they are super excited about this. They put on their cloaks, and they're putting the cloaks on the road, drawing attention to Jesus, letting the whole world know that Jesus is coming, the king is coming. So when they came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples, you see that? The whole crowd of disciples, those who were touched by Jesus, those who were taught by Jesus, those who spent time with Jesus, they are the ones joyfully praising God in loud voices. You see that? They're praising God in loud voices. How did we sing today, Mike? Did we do it all right? Were we loud? All right. Yeah, I was standing up here, by the way, and you guys were louder than the praise team, which is awesome. Totally awesome. But why would they praise in loud voices? It's not to draw attention to themselves, but you can't help yourself but to praise in loud voices when you realize who Jesus is and that he is worthy of our worship and our praise. Amen? Amen. We are worshiping God. We are singing on to God. And when he truly touches you and you really know who he is, then you don't really care when you worship. You just sing out loud. No one cares if you're singing out of key except for one person in the room. That's the cringing guy, usually me standing right there. But it's about worshiping from the heart, worshiping Jesus for who he is. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it says here, why were they doing it? For all the miracles they had seen. They've already seen what Jesus could do. By witnessing Jesus feeding the 5,000, by witnessing Jesus healing the blind, by witnessing Jesus raising the dead, this is the king that's coming to town. Wouldn't you be shouting? Wouldn't you be saying, I am aligning myself with this king? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the victorious king is coming. And what were they shouting out? Luke leaves out everything except this. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the king who's coming in the name of the Lord. No Hosanna, because he doesn't want us to focus on what the people wanted, which was a political leader, right? With Hosanna, there's an emphasis on he is going to crush the Romans and restore the nation. That's not what it's about. But instead, he goes back to what he wrote in chapter 2, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The peaceful king is coming. That's who our God is. Totally different than what the people wanted. And see how Luke here is focusing on the aspect of worship. So Palm Sunday is about worship. It's worshiping the King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. Right? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. See how he's drawing these two verses here for Palm Sunday. So I know we sang out loud today, but let me just ask you, does your worship match his worth? Is your worship shaped by who he is? Or is your worship shaped by what you want from him? Because it's really not about asking, but it's really about lifting who he is. It's not about what can Jesus do for me, but really it's about who is Jesus? Is he the King of Kings, Lord of Lords of your life? So that's really what this Palm Sunday is about, and that's really what Luke wanted us to focus on. And as you can see here, the disciples, even though they didn't fully understand, at least for that moment, they were shouting out praise to Jesus. But whenever Jesus shows up, whenever Jesus reveals himself, there are different kinds of reaction. So the disciples were shouting out, praising God, singing songs to him, humbling themselves before the king. But there's always a but when Jesus reveals himself. Look at how the Pharisees are acting. They said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." That's an interesting comment. Why would the Pharisees say, "Jesus, rebuke your disciples"? Because they were not comfortable with what was going on. They were not ready to see Jesus as the King of Kings. They were so worried about their position. They were worried about losing the authority that they had, control over the people that they had, because that is what they drove them. That was their identity. That's what fed their souls. Instead of focusing on the king, they wanted to be king. And oftentimes, isn't that what we struggle with? When God says, "I got this, do not worry." But God, we want to do things my way. But the very fact that you have a king, that we have a king, means that he's in control. If you have a king, but you want to be in control, what you're really saying is you are the king. Because the definition of a king is the one who rules. So is Jesus ruling over your life? Or are you trying to control Jesus with your prayers, with your offering, with your service, with everything that you do? It's really about the heart. And the gospel is about heart transformation. It's not behavior modification. A lot of times we get that wrong. We think, "Oh, if I do A, B, and C, then God will listen." That's behavior modification. But it's more because what God has done. He is the King of Kings. Therefore, I do A, B, and C. Do you see the difference there? And so the disciples, they are revealing their heart by telling Jesus to rebuke his disciples. And so what does Jesus say? "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." I love that. Basically, he's saying no one can stop from all of creation declaring that I am the king. That's what Jesus is saying. So you want me to rebuke and quiet my disciples. But even if I do that, all creation, they're going to declare the glory of who I am. That's what Jesus is saying. No one can stop this day from happening. Jesus is saying he is the rightful King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who our Jesus is. And then we see how this king is not only all-powerful, but also he weeps. He weeps for Jerusalem. He sees what's going to happen. And he is weeping. Jesus weeps a few times in Scripture. We see that. The one time before this was when Lazarus had died. Even though he knew he was going to raise him from the dead, he wept with Mary and Martha. That's who our Jesus is. He's not a king that's far removed from us. But he understands, and he's weeping for Jerusalem here, knowing what's to come, knowing how they're going to be destroyed for not recognizing who Jesus is. So you see what kind of king he is. He's a humble king. He is the true king, but he also weeps. He weeps for his people. And that's what we see here from verses 41 through 44. And then we also see Jesus as a holy king. He goes into the temple courts now. And he begins to drive out those who were selling. He is confronting the false worshipers. It's not about being religious. And he says, it is written, he said, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. He's making a distinction between people who are seeking God and those who are using God. My prayer is that we don't have people who are using God here. But it's so easy. And the enemy of our souls really tempt us to use God's name, to use God for personal gain. And I'm not talking about money here. But some of us, we need to be important. We need that respect from people. We need to be looked up upon. And so instead of following the footsteps of Jesus who humbled himself, I've seen people use God to elevate themselves. And my hope and prayer is none of us are that way. And if we are on that path, that God would humbly correct us before it's too late. So it's not about being religious. Because you could be religious for yourself. But let's make sure that God is our priority. I love how Jesus says, my house will be a house of prayer. Notice, what is he looking for in his house, in his church? Prayer. So we need to be people of prayer, amen? Amen. People of prayer means we pray. We pray as individuals, but we also pray as a community. That's why we pray even on Sundays, we pray here. But that's not enough. When people see us, do they see us as a house of prayer today? Let's become people of prayer. And then we see him as an authoritative king as well. Let's look at verse 47. He says, every day he was teaching at the temple. This is after his grand entrance. But look who are opposing Jesus here. The chief priests, the religious leaders, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Isn't that an interesting reaction to Jesus? They were so concerned about holding on to what they have here on earth. The chief priests, of course, they had power, but also they had money. Teachers of the law. What was important to them? Being right. and the leaders among the people. Because when Jesus comes, his kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. We talked about that last week, 2 weeks ago. And that's who our God is. He would flip your world upside down. And if you can't deal with that, if you're still holding on to something here, then you're basically saying that Jesus is not your king. Jesus is not your Lord. But notice what it says here. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. There is power behind God's words. And they're holding on to God's words. The people were hungry for God, whereas the leaders were rejecting God. He wants us to lean in on his authority instead of resisting his authority. So where are you today, church? Are you leaning in on his authority, even when it doesn't make sense? Or are you resisting God? So there are three applications that I see from our text today. First is, and it starts with this, is we need to receive the King for who he is. He is the King of Kings. He may not be the king that you are expecting, but he is the king. Are you ready to receive him as he is? Are you willing to let go of what you want? Are you ready to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? The second is praise the king. It's one thing to receive the king, but what follows is genuine worship. Praising him for who he is. Crying out loud for who he is. That means even if your whole world is falling apart, that doesn't matter. Because God is God. He is the King of Kings, and he is worthy of our praise. Amen? And to do all this, we need to surrender to the King. Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Because Jesus came not to defeat the political leaders, but he came to defeat death so that all who believe in him can have eternal life. He is the humble king who went to the cross, who rose in victory, and who reigns forevermore. That is our Jesus. Amen? Amen. So because he is king, may your worship match his worth. And so let's come to the communion table today. And as we come to the table, just have a few questions for you to think about. The first is, have you received Jesus as King? Or are you just looking for somebody to help you? Is there an area of your life where you are still holding on to? And today is the day to surrender that and let it go. And does your worship reflect who he is? So with that in mind, let me pray, and I'll ask the men to come forward and distribute the elements. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you for coming here as a humble king. And you lived the life we couldn't live, and you died the death that we deserve. You went to the cross. but you also rose again in victory, and you reign currently right now. You reign forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we come to the table today to say thank you. Thank you. And may we proclaim your saving death on the cross until you return as we partake as your children. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.